Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello, and thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville, your host ushering in 2010. This week in Switzerland, a merger between telecom heavyweights Sunrise and Orange has raised regulator eyebrows. Roman Polanski breaks his silence, sort of. And if you've been drinking a little New Year's bubbly, well, champagne producers offer a big merci. And we'll look into Swiss Info's crystal ball for 2010 and beyond. You'll hear why top athletes won't be the only ones using questionable means to fine-tune their bodies and minds.
We see a lot of people trying to enhance their potential with technology or medicine.
But first, the news. Swiss businessmen Max Goldi and Rashid Hamdani are scheduled in early January to be tried for a second time in Libyan court, this time over business and tax violations. The men, who have been holed up in the Swiss embassy in Tripoli, were already tried once on visa violations and received a 16-month sentence. They were arrested in Libya in July 2008, just days after Geneva police briefly detained Hannibal Gaddafi, a son of leader Muammar Gaddafi, on charges that he and his wife abused their domestic staff in the city. Amnesty International's Daniel Graf in Zurich said Libya broke its own laws trying the men, and the next trial will offer clues as to whether Tripoli is indeed exacting revenge or just upholding its laws.
The first trials, starting in January, will be kind of indication, you know, in which direction we are going. More on the side of escalation means it's very obvious that it's an unfair trial and that they get a sentence which is not acceptable. Or is it more likely a fair trial, more or less, and a sentence which is grounded in Libyan law? So then maybe there is more time for negotiation.
A British man who went missing without a trace in the resort village of Wengen in the Bernese Oberland has turned up dead. Swiss police confirmed that the body of Miles Robinson was found on December 28th. The 23-year-old Londoner went missing 6 days earlier. Police say he probably slipped and fell over a cliff while trying to negotiate a steep path. Despite that grim outcome, fewer people are dying in the mountains from avalanches, a report has found. Experts from the Snow and Avalanche Research Center in Davos say better gear and improved awareness have led to a drastic reduction in the number of deaths. The Institute said statistics for the latest 10-year period show that around 40% of people caught in avalanches die. At the end of the 1970s, that figure was around 60%. The decrease is also remarkable, since more gravity hounds are likely today to leave marked runs. Roman Polanski has not been skiing in Gstaad over the holiday period, since he's still under house arrest. But Switzerland's most famous jailbird did issue a statement for the first time since his September arrest in Zurich. The director posted a letter on a French website thanking people for their support while he awaits possible extradition to the United States for sentencing in a decades-old sex case. He said, quote, "These messages have come from my neighbors, from people all over Switzerland and from beyond Switzerland, from across the world. I would like each one of them to know how heartening it is when one is locked up in a cell to hear this murmur of human voices and of solidarity in the morning mail." The corks were popping as usual in Switzerland at midnight on New Year's Eve, but champagne is no longer the king of sparkling drinks. The financial crisis has forced people to tighten their belts, and champagne producers are set for a drop in sales of up to 16% for the year. The Swiss Champagne Association recalled the late 1980s boom, where some 10 million bottles of champagne were shifted a year. Consumption is now stabilized at 5 to 6 million bottles. The Swiss are the world's third biggest drinkers of bubbly, knocking back three quarters of a bottle each a year. Roger Federer had a lot to toast in 2009. The world's top tennis star had a roller coaster year, but held on to the number one ranking. Federer himself admits he's had an emotional season. On court, he finally won the French Open and his sixth Wimbledon, surpassing Pete Sampras's record of 14 Grand Slam titles. He also regained the number one spot from Spain's Rafael Nadal. Off court, he married longtime girlfriend Mirka and had twin girls. Renee Stauffer, author of Quest for Perfection, the Roger Federer story, believes 2010 could be the Swiss's last shot at the Grand Slam. Coming up, we'll dip into our letterbox and gaze into our crystal ball. But first, this is the Basel Chamber Orchestra, which plays without a fixed conductor. It's one of the most sought-after ensembles of its kind in Europe. Musicians play early music on historic instruments, and also perform a wide variety of Baroque works. Here's Handel's Gavotti. Every week our inboxes fill with your comments, and this week was no different. While heated opinions on the Minaret Band continue to come in, it was another story that prompted a veritable flurry of mail. The CEO of Switzerland's largest retailer, Migros, criticized Germany's big discount supermarkets that have set up shop in Switzerland. Herbert Bolliger said that Aldi and Lidl's focus on price-cutting was having a negative impact on the Swiss economy by lowering the income of local producers and putting people out of work. Not everyone was in agreement with Bolliger, including MS from Switzerland.
It's time to drop the prices and reduce your profit, Mr. Bolliger. Although you have a large number of employees, the number of disadvantaged people, Swiss customers, is much larger. Stop undermining us.
In a free market system, the market determines wages. Even assuming that Aldi pays poverty wages, the alternative is no wages,
said René.
The point is, do you want to protect 80,000 lucky Migros workers or make life better for all Swiss residents? Forget Aldi. In a normal, non-protected market, Migros and Co-op would be racing to innovate, improve efficiency, cut costs and prices.
Dirk responded directly to René.
If I was looking for a job in the retail business, sure, I'd rather work for Migros than Aldi. I'd rather work for Coke than Pepsi. Not everyone can do as they like.
Ruslan was one reader who came to the defense of Migros.
People complaining about high prices in Migros Co-op forget to mention their salaries and taxes. The Swiss economic model might not be perfect, but it's balanced and it works quite well. New big players introducing their own rules might disturb the balance. Therefore, please don't blame Mr. Bolliger for his greediness. It's a bit more complicated than that.
We're at the start of 2010, the beginning of a new decade. But what's in store for us over the next few years? A couple of international crystal ball gazers came together recently in Lucerne to talk about, what else? The future. But these futurists have little in common with gypsy fortune tellers. They are respectable businessmen and women and economists. Dale Bechtel hears what they think the world should be bracing itself for.
We more and more see this human performance enhancement issue.
Say that again? Human performance enhancement issue? Experts like Georges Ross, who organized the European Futurist Conference, could be accused of talking over the heads of their audience. But when you take a careful look at what he and some of the experts are saying, the science fiction of yesterday is on the verge of becoming reality. Okay, let's hear Ross explain what he means by human performance enhancement.
Either it is a merger of humankind and machine, but also with chemistry. We see a lot of people trying to enhance their potential with technology or medicine. And this is, I think, that will lead us to new behaviors and new values.
Now that you and I understand human performance enhancement, you're ready for, wait for it, hybrid consumption patterns. Now, you may want to throw up your arms in despair at this point, but you may need to take a look in the mirror first. 2010 could be the year you too become a hybrid consumer. Here's Nicole Brandley, a senior economist at Credit Suisse Bank, to explain HCP.
That means one person one day is buying very cheaply, and the same person on the other day is spending his money on very exclusive and expensive items. And before, it was different. We had clear types of consumers, and it was easier for companies to react to that or to make these groups and then give them products they like. And now they have to consider many different types and trends of consumers.
Okay, let's take stock of where we are before we do any more crystal ball gazing. Humans, that is, all of us, are likely to use whatever technology or medicine available to enhance our performance, no matter the cost, either high or low. But according to Clive van Heerden, he's the senior creative director of Philips Design, the whole discussion about what we take into our bodies could be driven by more frequent food shortages and rising food prices.
There's a lot of evidence to suggest that food prices will continue to rise as the amount of agricultural land that is presently used to produce food starts to produce ethanol, and as habits change, as the eating habits in different parts of the world, and in particular Asia, change, and parts of the developing world are going to feel that pinch a lot more intensely than we do in Western Europe or the US.
But von Herden and Phillips aren't going to take this lying down. Much in the spirit of HPE, in case you've forgotten, that's short for Human Performance Enhancement. If there's a problem, there's science and technology to fix it.
We've produced some provocations basically looking at scenarios for augmenting a family's nutritional consumption. We also think that consciousness about health issues and the desire to consume more healthy food, more organic food, food where you know where its source is and so on, will give rise to lots of tools that facilitate that process.
So who's going to create all of these future technologies the world desperately needs to face the challenges of 2010 and beyond? Not surprisingly, Georges Ross, our human performance enhancement expert, thinks it will be the Swiss.
Switzerland's special. I think Switzerland could be Silicon Valley of green technology and green growth. We were really at the top with the research on the digital world, but then missed the opportunity to make business out of that. And I hope we are again on top with this research and solutions on the energy question and climate change question. And I hope we really can take that as an opportunity also for Switzerland.
And if Switzerland fails to usher in a new green revolution, it can at least still offer the world direct democracy. That's according to Marco Villeneuve, a senior vice president at the Allianz Insurance Company.
The Swiss political system, which is highly localized, and I think that could again serve a kind of a role model for other countries, so that how you actually establish that kind of a direct democracy, particularly now that people are coming more and more concerned that actually what is happening around their own sort of a living environment and how they can be a part of the process whereby the local forces sort of to join and really takes care of, let's say, the health system or education system.
Well, there you have it. The experts have placed a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of a very small country. Tune into this program throughout 2010 to see just how Switzerland is coping.
That was Dale Bechtel. That's all for this week's show. To download a podcast or to find out more about what's happening in Switzerland, head to swissinfo.ch. You can hear some of the songs we use at swissmusic.swissinfo.ch. Here's Handel's Vivace. We at Swiss Info wish you all the best for 2010. Thanks for listening.